Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:06 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 21st. I thought we'd kick off today with Brazil. The real has rallied really rather well in here today, and that is a riposte to the significant decline that it put in at the end of last week. Well, we can see that it's still trading, but it is below the 4 level, so that's obviously going to be a challenge now, whether it's going to be able to rally back above the 4 area. But there is renewed hope that there could be some pension reform pushed through Parliament. Obviously, in any country, pension reform is one of the most contentious issues, both from the perspective of public sector and private sector employees, as well as trying to get politicians to agree on anything with where votes are going to be at risk. So if Brazil can in fact push this through, then that really would be a very solid performance. And when we look at the Bovespa, it has bounced pretty impressively now again today from the 90,000 area. That's to reconfirm the medium-term demand-dominated environment. Then when we look at, for example, the Australian index, well, we had the election result yesterday and the market was in additional positive territory in here today. It is now testing the 6,500 point level. I do think it is quite likely that we are going to see an additional advance back up towards the peak posted back in 2007. This is a very different environment from back then. Back in 2007, we'd had this very large pullback, which was an inconsistency at the penultimate high before the collapse occurred in 2008. On this occasion, the market does appear to be better supported, although we did have the big pullback at the beginning of, or at the end of last year, and then the subsequent rebound this year. But the much bigger question I think people will be focused on is what's going to happen with the Australian dollar. It was in negative territory in here today. It looks like the RBA is going to cut interest rates in June, and that may not be the last one. That I think when people are thinking about the economy and with a higher degree of caution because of the weakness that has been apparent in the housing market in Australia, it's quite likely that the RBA is not done with one interest rate cut. They may go for more. Well, that is positive for the stock market in nominal terms, although perhaps not so much in currency adjusted terms. If we look at, for example, the MSCI Australia iShares, well, it is certainly rallying in here, but this chart looks very different from the nominal price, considering the strength of the dollar over the course of the last few years. But the strength that we're seeing right now in Australia is turning this around, and this does look like it. Australia is a market that has the potential to start attracting foreign investors. And that isn't something it's been able to do for a while. Well, when we look at Australian bonds, the yields are collapsing here, and this is a new low. It's an extension of this long pattern of contraction in yields from 2008. Back in 2008, it's hard to remember that the yield was closer to 7%. It's currently 1.63, and there is a short-term overbought condition on the prices, but this is a meaningful breakdown, and it's an extension of this pattern of contraction. Well, this compression in yields that we're seeing globally is representative of the conclusion that bond market investors are reaching. If we listen to people like Jeff Gundlach or Ray Dalio or Howard Marks, they are all singing from the same song sheet. And it's very clear that they have already concluded that modern monetary theory, as undesirable as it might be for the majority of investors, is virtually inevitable when we get the next as a response to the next recession. And that is likely to cause the central banks to fall into line with fiscal stimulus in an increasingly large number of countries, and they'll be buying those bonds hand over fist. Well, with interest rates coming down, central banks are already starting to price in the measures necessary to combat the next period of strife in the global markets. Well, if we then look at other commodity-producing countries and currencies, I think the South African rand has continued to find support around the 14.5 area. So far, it hasn't sustained a move above it, at least. Well, when we look at the All Share Index in Johannesburg, it's right in the region of the trend mean. It had a pretty impressive rebound from the lows at the 50,000 rand level, or excuse me, point level, back in December. This is a potential area of support. When we think about some of the bigger constituents in that index, well, BHP, it's a right also in the region of the trend mean, and the trend mean has offered support on multiple occasions since 2016, so there's a reasonable chance that it is going to do so again. When we think about the fact that BHP is both oil and iron ore, whereas Rio Tinto is more about iron ore, aluminium, and copper, well, Rio Tinto has benefited more from the travails of Vale with its dam busting. Now, what's I think particularly interesting is that we have commodity exporting stock markets that seem to be doing reasonably well, but the commodities themselves aren't really setting the world on fire. Copper prices were in negative territory again in here today. If we then look at, for example, the nickel price, and I'm going to use a proxy for that, the ETFS nickel, well, it's just about finding support around the 11 area. If we look at that on a weekly basis, it's been rather range bound over the course of the last couple of years. It really does need to hold the 10 area if this sequence of higher reaction lows over the course of the last 3.5 years is going to remain intact. But this is representative more of the fact that we're getting an interest rate environment that's, I think, accommodative from the perspective of stock market investors rather than the global economy firing on all cylinders. Rather, it's an anticipation that that commodity prices may start to firm up as some of the easing measures that are coming through from central banks start to kick in. Well, the US dollar remains really quite firm, and the US is still contracting the size of its balance sheet. So when we think about easing measures internationally, then that is much more of a global phenomenon than particularly a US phenomenon. The Federal Reserve is on hold with its interest rate policy, but they are likely, or well, they're slated at least, to stop contracting the size of the balance sheet in September. So far, the dollar is continuing to attract interest from international investors. Part of the reason for that is because the stock market remains really quite steady. The S&P 500 was quite overextended by the time it made a new all-time high at the beginning of this month, and it was susceptible to some pause of consolidation, and that is exactly what we've got. As long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, then this is just going to look like a consolidation following what was a rollicking period of outperformance between the end of December and April. If it does, in fact, just range here for the next while, then that would be, I think, one of the best possible scenarios, that it would unwind the overbought condition and set the market up for the next leg on the upside. Well, again, that would be the best possible scenario. A less beneficial scenario would be that it fails to sustain the region of the trend mean, which is around the 2780 point level, and we get a deeper process of consolidation. That could be much more lengthy rather than just a couple of months. I would be more inclined to think that the former potential is the more likely scenario, for the simple reason that we still have generally accommodative monetary policy. We certainly have accommodative fiscal policy, and corporate earnings are still quite good. In fact, they came in reasonably positive in the first quarter. Well, then, if we think about what is it that could upset that potential outcome, well, it would be an intensification of the trade war. Well, so far, China has not gone nuclear in terms of their responses. Taking their pandas back from San Diego Zoo is a trifling consideration compared to the potential for rare earth metals to be or a ban on exports of rare earth metals to the USA or Taiwan or Japan or South Korea is obviously a much more higher level potential intensification of the trade war. Well, Linus is beginning to exhibit some bullish tendencies right now. It was up in a pretty dynamic manner in here today, and that is coming now to break the sequence of lower rally highs evident since the first quarter of last year. If I then look at this on just a logarithmic scale chart, it's been largely range bound over the course of the last 18 months, so it really does need to push on the upside. Now, trading was halted in here today because of the strength of the advance, but I think it's worth considering that it's not just Linus, which is the only, in fact, producer. It's also explorers for rare earth metals are starting to do better. Alkane Resources is one of those. They have a gold mine, and they are ploughing the profits from the gold mine into developing a rare earth metals mine, and that has also started to steady from the lower side of its range. Well, rare earth metals are a key strategic asset, and Linus is going to start building a processing facility in the USA, which suggests that the US is finally getting serious about being energy, or I think rare earth metal secure. It's not as if the USA or North America generally doesn't have enough reserves of rare earth metals to mine. It's rather that the radiation and the pollution that is associated with processing them was easier to get done in low regulation places like China, but it's not as if it can't be done elsewhere. Then, when we start to think about what is going on in terms of the stock market, well, the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index had pulled back very sharply yesterday, and it was in mildly positive territory in here today, but at least it is beginning to demonstrate some support in the region of the trend mean. And as long as it can do that, that is a reasonably benign scenario. But I think it is rather unlikely that we're going to see a resumption of the uptrend here, particularly in view of the fact that not only is China being banned from new applications, although the Trump administration did ease the restrictions on Huawei yesterday. This is quite similar to what they did with ZTE a year ago. But the much bigger picture is that it's quite likely there's going to be a wholesale boycott of US-produced products by China. That's a particular headwind for companies like Apple, where it's not just that Apple produces its phones and other products in China, but China is a big end-use market for a lot of its products as well. That would suggest that we're in for at least ranging potentially additional downside in Apple. But then I think when we think about the knock-on effects for a company like Google, which pulled out of China about more than a decade ago, it's hard to imagine why the share should pull back to 1,000, and that was an awfully big upside key reversal on the chart 5 days ago. So as long as it is holding those lows above 1100, then I think we can conclude that this is some support building following the shock of the earnings result that we had at the beginning of the month. Well, the European elections are upon us, and there is a clear potential that we are going to see a very large protest vote. If we think about the rise of populist movements right across the European region, and the democratic deficit that European institutions have, then this is a perfect target for a protest vote. That is certainly going to happen, well, almost certainly going to happen in the UK. The Yellow Vest movement in France could easily start to mobilize people in a vote for the European Parliament, but there are populist movements in Italy, in Spain, in Austria, Sweden, Denmark, and all of these places have the potential to put people into Parliament. There's a real potential that it's going to end up that the UK Parliament is going to be less Eurosceptic than the new European Parliament. Now, the pound has fallen on consecutive days over the last couple of weeks versus the euro. It has failed to find support in the region of the trend mean. So now this is the first real evidence that the currency markets are willing to price in the potential for a hard Brexit, at least this year. Having failed to sustain the upward break, the rule of thumb from the chart seminar is that it will go back down and test the 110 area. There is the clear potential that the next Prime Minister is going to be a Eurosceptic, an outright Eurosceptic. I think it was rather naive to think that someone who voted and campaigned to stay in the EU could be trusted with negotiating the exit from it. Well, that mistake is likely to be overturned with the next leader of the Conservative Party. Increasingly, the Conservative Party is the party of exit, and the Labour Party will be the party of staying within the EU, regardless of the individual perspectives of members of Parliament. That is the way that the various parties are going to be whipped. Well, if we do get a substantially weaker pound, that is likely to be beneficial to the stock market in nominal terms. Well, the FTSE 100 was not quite able to hold all of its gain in here today, and it is right in the region of the trend mean. I think all other factors being equal, we could anticipate some additional ranging, but as long as it's holding the region of the trend mean, then the weakness of the pound could act as some additional fuel for some upside. I think what's also really quite interesting is when we look around the world, then the number of markets that are in fact now making new lows is comparatively small. Even Malaysia, which had for a brief period dropped below that 1600 point level, has at least stabilized and has this short-term oversold condition. The Chinese market, which is obviously a clear victim of the increasing trade frictions, was in positive territory in here today, and it is also right in the region of its trend mean. The Indian market, having surged yesterday, was in negative territory in here today. So, obviously, considering the advance and the strength of the advance, there is potential for some consolidation, but this is, and I think the consolidation will last us at least as long as it takes for the result, the official result of the election, to come out next week. But a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to question the consistency of the overall advance. If we are now at a point where there is uncertainty in the market, where we have had some markets that are pushing on to new high ground, and that is certainly beneficial. Wall Street, Europe, and China are right in the region of their respective trend means. So this is the point where we can anticipate some support coming back in. The yen has been weakening, so that is suggestive of less demand for safe havens, and the Nikkei has bounced from the 21,000 level, and that also coincides with the region of the trend mean, although it needs to do more in order to sustain a move back above it. Then the second section index has also not been able to push back above the 7,000 area. And it has not responded either to the weakness of the yen over the last few days. There is a very clear rolling over characteristic to this chart. That's not especially bullish for Japan. Well, what that suggests is that the Nikkei needs to hold that 21,000 level, or it's going to look decidedly more bearish than some of these other stock markets out there. When we look at the oil price, well, oil has been really quite steady around the $70 area, but it's going to have to hold that place, and it was relatively unchanged in here today. Gold prices were also negative in here today, but off the lows intraday, still holding the $1,275 area. That coincides with the trend mean. There is a downward bias to trading over much of this year so far. It is going to definitely have to break that sequence of lower rally highs in order to demonstrate a return to demand dominance. Platinum prices have failed to sustain the upward break. They have now pulled back below the trend mean, but they're now right in the region of the $800 area. That has been an area of support over the course of the last 7 or 8 months. There is potential here for some additional steadying, but it's going to have to do more than just steady. It's going to have to push back above the trend mean in order to clearly demonstrate that we've got support building underway. Johnson Matthey is predicting a deficit for platinum this year, but there isn't much evidence of clear demand dominance in the price at the moment, particularly following last week's downward dynamics. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.